This is ESPN Radio's Bart and Hahn Podcast.
It is Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. The number is 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've got a lot to get to today. As always, we want your calls to be part of the conversation. If not getting through on the calls, you can also hit us up on Twitter and Instagram, at Bart and Hahn. We check and we follow you, and you follow us, and we'll just keep this thing rolling. Bart, what's happening, man?
Maintain it, man. You got a lot of energy. You had a lot of bass in your voice. You brought us in right, man. It's that matcha is kicking in. It's just kicking in.
As you always tell me, man, say it with your chest.
Yeah, man, we got a lot to talk about, man.
Yeah, it's just like the feeling like that kind of day, right?
A little sad news, though. Do we get the sad news out the way first before we can pick the energy back up?
Surprising, too, really. One of those things that just caught our attention. It happened less than an hour ago. LaMarcus Aldridge of the Brooklyn Nets took to social media to make an announcement that really was a surprise to everyone. Now, remember, he had been out, and we've been talking about how Brooklyn and so many people that didn't play last night against the Sixers, and of course, we'll get to that story in a moment, but he was one of them, and they just listed him down as illness, non-COVID related. Yeah. So you thought, probably it's a cold, flu, something, you know, like whatever it is, he's just not feeling well, he's under the weather. But then he went to Twitter and he said, "Today I write this letter with a heavy heart. My last game I played dealing with an irregular heartbeat. Later that night, my rhythm got even worse, which really worried me at the time. The next morning, I told the team what was going on, and they were great getting me to the hospital and getting me checked out. Though I'm better now, what I felt with my heart that night was still one of the scariest things I've experienced. With that being said, I've made the difficult decision to retire from the NBA. Wow. For 15 years, I put basketball first. Now it's time to put my health and family first." He's 35 years old.
Yeah.
With the Nets, he had a chance to win a championship.
Something that hasn't looted.
And he was somebody that, even though they signed him, you know, he got his buyout with the Spurs, and the Nets signed him, and you thought, just adding these pieces.
And we didn't know how it would fit, right, with all that space. And then early on, his first game,
he showed us a dimension that we didn't really know he had in his game, which was as a passer out of the post. And it just, he only played five games with them, but it's amazing how in those five games, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. I think he can help these guys.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like Chris Webber, you know, with those great Sacramento teams that, you know, he was able to, if you give him one-on-one, he can shoot over the right and left shoulder. He had a nice mid-game. But if you come to double him, which he forced the teams to do, he could find the open shooter. And with a team with so many shooters, with so much spacing, he was like the perfect complement to what they did. It allowed you to have a post presence when you needed it to create open shots for other guys. And, you know, to make that decision, knowing how close and how realistic the chance is, this ain't like at the beginning of the season you're saying, oh, man, I think this is a year where this team can get on. This is like near the end of the season where they're about to go on their journey to try and win a championship.
Yeah.
And, you know, it reminds me of Hank Gathers, right? You know, you think about, you know, nobody wants to ever have to see that or witness
Reggie Lewis.
Reggie Lewis dying on the court. And at some point you have to make that difficult decision, say, hey, man, I had a great run. The championship eluded me, but, you know, I got a pocket full of money. I got generational wealth, and none of this means anything to my family if I'm not here. So, I mean, I've never had a regular heartbeat. I've had, like, chest pain before, and it's a scary thing because you don't know what's going on. So, I mean, I hope that, you know, they can figure it out. Just think about a guy like Chris Bosh as well that was willing to put his life on the line. You know, because you've done this for so long, your entire life, man, and it's what you love to do. And sometimes we identify and it defines who we are sometimes. And athletes, you know, have to make that tough decision where they have to find out who they are without the game. He's on that journey. It's not an easy one. You know, no matter how much money you have, when you're saying goodbye to something that maybe he might not ever do again, you know, especially on a high level, you know, it's a tough decision. You know, I just hope that people give him the mental health help that he's going to need, even though he doesn't realize he doesn't need it.
Yeah, stepping away for him right now. Again, at the age of 35, it's something where you say, oh, well, he had a nice long career. Like you said, made tons of money. Yeah. You know, he's fortunate that he caught it.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't happen either. There was a warning sign, and he was not going to blow through that stop sign.
Yeah.
That was one of those things where he said, I'd rather – live my life knowing, right, that this is why I had to step away than to try to ignore it or just hope that it was just something that won't come back again. No, You know, how could you play, play with that in the back of your mind?
Right.
And play freely. So, look, for him, the good news is that he was able to get diagnosed and understand that, okay, this is a regular heartbeat.
Yeah.
This is something that I need to now address, and he did, and he can live his life.
Yeah.
That's a good thing for him. And like we mentioned, for the Nets, what does this mean for them? Because, you know,
drop it out, Blake!
I didn't,
Blake is like, damn it!
Blake Griffin's like, I gotta play
now. I gotta play, grab boards! I gotta be the low post guy! Damn it!
Now, I don't think it changes the trajectory of the Nets.
It does.
I don't, like, you know, again, this is no offense to LaMarcus Aldridge, but I still think they are a championship contending team, and that they should be a team that you would probably, if you were gonna put money on, odds on favor to get out of the East.
Yeah, he was a luxury piece.
Yeah, a luxury piece that really could have helped them. But, all right, so you don't have that piece. But the Nets still don't have their main pieces, as Kevin Durant didn't play last night for injury management. Kyrie did play last night. James Harden, they're still waiting to bring him back, or get him back, I should say. So Kyrie did play because, if you think about it, Kyrie couldn't take the – he took the game off in Minnesota for the personal reasons that still have not been disclosed. Everybody has different guesses as to why, but nobody really knows factually yet until he says something. But Kyrie Irving takes one game off, so he had to play in this game against the Sixers. KD played in Minnesota, so he took this game off. And it now leads us to a whole other place. And this will be Straight Talk brought to you, Straight Talk Wireless. And you're, you know, again, you're an NFL guy, so it's probably harder for you to really comprehend this. But I'm wondering if we are reaching a point, and I think we've already talked about how load management became a thing that was just such a curse phrase in the NBA that even Adam Silver had to come out now and start finding teams. Like, if he's not hurt, you can't just sit him out.
It used to be a Spurs thing only. And everybody, everybody caught on. Oh, the Spurs are always,
always
resting
guys
on the season.
And nationally televised games. It was almost a protest by Greg Popovich.
Yeah.
You put us in a back-to-back so you can put us on national, so I'm going to sit my guys on the national game. You know, you're hurting the sport.
Yeah.
You're hurting the sport. So here's the question. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Load management, you understand, is they say, all of the medical experts tell you, and of course the coaches probably don't love it, but managers and people that run their teams, they're buying in. It's good for the players. They need it. It's a tight schedule, 72 games compressed into a small amount of time. Some guys that have injuries, you want them to be fully healthy. Don't you want them healthy in the playoffs? Isn't that money-making time? Isn't that what matters? So you say it's good for the players, but is it bad for the sport? That's the question. Is it bad for the sport? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You know who thinks it's really bad for the sport? Stephen A. Smith.
This is the BS that I'm talking about right here, right now. This is that stuff that I'm talking about. And then y'all wonder why I be calling cats out. I mean, damn. How many days off do you need? You Blake, you LaMarcus Aldridge, what? For what? What have you been doing that you need a vacation day? Oh, I'm sorry, a personal day, because Lord knows we don't know what's happening now. Regular season games, it's all about the 2 months. That's what you're getting paid for 2 months? No, you're getting paid for a full regular season and the playoffs.
So, obviously, he didn't know about LaMarcus Aldridge when he mentioned when he did this video. That was before the game last night. The Sixers played the Nets. The Nets were in Philly in the last meeting of the regular season between these two teams that were tied for first in the East. This was a tiebreaker game. This was a game that was on ESPN, a nationally televised game.
Yeah.
And Kevin Durant took the night off and decided, I'm going to play in Minnesota instead. And so I'm going to take this game off for the call injury management because of the hamstring that kept him out.
No back-to-backs, though. That's the rule.
I understand no back-to-backs. And I'm guessing he had to play in Minnesota because Kyrie didn't play. And you have to have one star at least available, right? I believe it's something like that. And so he was almost forced to do it this way. So the Nets pretty much conceded the idea of, well, the tiebreaker, that doesn't matter, and maybe we don't care about seeding. And by doing this with all this rest and load management, injury management, sitting players out, you're just literally just making a mockery of the regular season. You're saying the regular season doesn't matter. And when you're good enough, you're a good enough team, you're just going to get to the playoffs, and that's when we'll play everybody, and that's when it'll matter. And Steve Nash sort of talked about that idea of you know, our player health is more important than where we are in the standings.
I think health is everything. You know, I mean, it'd be great to have the number one seed. I think it means a lot and it's valuable, but not at the expense of losing players or prolonging our, you know, injury situation. So I think we have to be very careful and make sure that our guys get to the finish line as whole as possible.
That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Bart, I can't imagine you can relate to this at all, but you guys also played once a week.
Yeah.
But guys are still banged up.
Yeah, guys are banged up. But sometimes, that's why the NFL had a little dose of this as well, because they were not playing guys and playing their starters. Remember, famously, in the second half of the game when the Colts had an opportunity to go for greatness to be 16-0.
Right.
They decided, Jim Caldwell decided to rest his team so that they can be healthy and get into the postseason, because they looked at it as a meaningless game for us. Mm-hmm. Now, we end up getting to the playoffs
right. And
almost beating them, and I wonder how they would have felt if we would have got in and they know that they gave birth to us, because they, kind of set out the second half of the game. We weren't going to win that game if they don't, take their foot off the gas. But it's like one of those things. If you win a championship, you don't care. If they win a championship.
That's an if, though. See, that to me is the problem. You're right. That's the if, though. If they win a championship, you'll say it was the right strategy. Now, this could also be, as I reached out to Mark Cuban yesterday about his comments about the 7-10. He's saying, look, this season, it's 72 games, a compressed schedule. It's a different animal. In an 82-game season, it's a little bit different. But they've been load managing in 82-game seasons as well. Like, this is not a new concept to this year. You could say, well, Kevin's been dealing with injuries and, we got to keep him in bubble wrap.
Yeah, they're afraid of Kevin getting hurt because they know that's their championship right there. He's the only one that can put stress on LeBron James and make him have to work on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively, because as great as LeBron is, the one person puzzle he's never been able to fix or figure out is KD. KD always gives LeBron. It's almost like LeBron's not even standing there when LeBron goes against KD. He just shoots over and doesn't even bother.
Kevin's pretty confident against him. But I go back to the idea that if this is such a problem in the league, and you're saying, well, our players, we need this rest. Now, this year, you're not selling a lot of tickets. People aren't coming to the building.
Right.
But I'm sorry. When the buildings are filled again, you can't do this to people. You can't do this to your customers. It's bad enough. ESPN has given you so much money. Turner gives you all this money to have these games. And you're going to tell them, like, there was a game recently, it was like Utah and someone else, and whoever it was, they didn't play any of their guys. It was just, well, what are we doing here? And I think it was actually the Nets. You have these games. Milwaukee recently sat their whole five against the Charlotte Hornets, and the Charlotte Hornets are contending with other teams for a playoff spot. Like, competitive balance? Yeah. We're talking about competitive balance now.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. I'm a broadcast partner. I want this game. And this turns out to be a huge game. The top two teams in the East, they could meet in the conference finals. It's a preview. We've got a Wednesday night game. It's a doubleheader. I want people tuning in. I want ratings because I just paid you all this money, and you're giving me that. Now, of course, conversely,
devil's advocate,
the Nets JV team, as the Nets look like they were about to get blown out in this game, they go to garbage time, and the JV team comes in and just starts kicking the crap out of the Sixers JV that forced the Sixers starters to come back in the game just to salvage what would end up being a 123-117 win, because they gave up 33 points in the fourth quarter. So the Nets can look as if we didn't even have our guys, and we almost took it.
And the gamesmanship, right? Yeah, I know when Nash was asked about this, isn't gamesmanship like giving them opportunity, not allowing them to have opportunity to figure out how to defend KD or how they were going to try and double and be, because now when they play against the big three, if they meet in the playoffs, then they won't know what their sets are, how they play with all three of them together. So he said it was nothing to that. It just so happened that it was the second day of a back-to-back, and KD doesn't play those. We didn't know about Aldridge, but they did. So with that being said, Aldridge probably would have played if he didn't have the heart issues, which eventually led to his
fair. But again, retirement. Does Kevin have to play in Minnesota when you know you're playing the Sixers?
Well, he has to play because Kyrie's having a mental day. He's taking a mental day, right? So it's like crazy, man. Like the modern day athlete is different. Like, I never thought I would hear like a guy like Bill Belichick reportedly giving guys social media breaks, like, because now it's determined that guys can't have an attention span more than like an hour. So after that, even though if you we used to meet all day.
You want to go check your Instagram like 10 minutes? Go is swipe, that what recess?
Go swipe left. You know what I'm saying? Go swipe left, tell her to be
later. Yeah.
But it's crazy, though. Like, it's like going to see Destiny Child. They're like, oh, Beyonce ain't here. Like, what? Like, hold on. I paid good money. Where's Beyonce?
How is it different? No.
She's to the left, to the left. It's basically it's entertainment. It's the entertainment business. You're selling tickets for these games. Now, again, this year, not as many. So you get away with it. But you're selling tickets to the games. You're selling the games to broadcast partners.
True.
This is all about entertainment value, and you take the value away by taking away the talent. And now it's like, you should watch because of what you saw off the bench, because of Landry Shamet. Like, you know what? I love basketball. Yeah. I don't love it that much. You should hope and see if Landry Shamet can make some threes.
They should be able to flex the games. I think, like, the network should be able to flex the games, like the NFL.
Hard to do because of the schedule. But you can do that because you got a couple of days to move the game. You can't do that. They found out the day before.
You
can't now all of a sudden go, all right, we're going to take this game instead. It's just you're moving the whole broadcast crew over there. It's just different.
But what the team and the Players Association is going to say is, listen, as long as some numbers up for that month during the playoffs and the play-in game, you know, the play-in tournament that we have, and you hope that, you know, that a 10 beats a 7 and it goes to a 2-game, or you hope that you get to Cinderella. As long as we provide that type of drama, because no matter what, when the postseason comes, the drama between Embiid, who looked dominant
yesterday. But you can't take the regular season and now just say, I know, hey, everybody, we want you to tune into these games. We want you to buy tickets for these games. But a little secret, it doesn't. These games don't matter. At least there's a couple of teams.
It's four teams that don't matter.
Pretty much.
I mean, because you got Luka playing his heart out, you know, with the strip and all the other things, right? You got other teams that are in desperation mode. So you get – why don't you schedule those guys for the desperation games and understand that, like, if I'm looking down, I'm talking to Nash and all those guys. I need to know when these guys are going to play or they're not going to play so we can flex this schedule. Don't have us sell a game nationally, do commercials, talk about it, and
Bart,
you guys aren't going to do
I'm
it.
I'm sorry. Let us know who's playing. And I both know that in the NBA, it's a little bit different. Yeah. In the NBA, in the NFL, you can flex a game and it's still – this game maybe has more value. People are watching because of the value of the game because it's NFL is more about team. In the NBA, they sell personalities. There's a reason why it's, you know, it's Luka and the Mavericks take on – you know, blank and the whoever, right? Like, that's just, it's never, you know, it's never just going to be two team names. Like, it'll be a lot harder to sell Charlotte versus Memphis, you know, on a Wednesday night and try to get a lot of people to watch. And all you're telling them is, well, you know, it's important for playoff seeding. I don't care. Who am I watching? I'm not interested. So it still is going to be about the stars. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Let's get some calls on this because, like I said, is this bad? It's supposed to be good for the players, but is it bad for the product? I want you guys to chime in. William in Harlem, start us off.
Yeah, gentlemen, first time. Love the show.
Thanks. Don't make it your last time now.
Nah, it won't be your last time. It won't. But you guys are so popular that it's hard to get to you guys. But, you know, I'll keep trying.
All right, we got you.
Yeah, this right here, I'm not a big fan of the players resting because a lot of these teams go to these small market cities for one visit, and the parent save up for that game to take their child. See, I live in New York, so I'm able to watch. So, but it's really bad. It's really bad. And to top it off, that they don't give that game check. They still want that game check. But what would be worse? Knowing in advance they sit, or they just will suit up, play a couple of minutes, and then sit the rest of the game.
Well, we saw that. That actually was a thing, I believe, in the 90s. You would see, because I think there was actually this rule, you got to suit up. But you know why players don't want that? Because it messes with their stats.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like, you bring him in, and thanks for the call, you bring him in, and he plays like his 8 minutes, gets up two shots, at least I played, and then I sit on the bench. But guess what? That messes with your stats now. Now all of a sudden, because you only had 6 points in that game,
right?
Now it messes with your stats, which messes with your money. So guys don't want to do that either. You know, that to me is another part of the story. But what he said, though, Bart, I've lived that.
Yeah.
I've lived that. You get all parents
kid,
can't afford.
Take you out of school. I'm taking you out of school. You
think
go
about the parent.
That,
right. This is the only game I can afford to take my kid to. It's his birthday. All he wants to do is see. Like, you know, Memphis again. We live in Memphis, and he's a huge LeBron fan, or he's a huge Kyrie fan.
Right.
And it's their only visit.
Playing.
And we saved up our money, and he wants to see him. Oh, he ain't playing. What do you mean he ain't playing? He ain't playing. Not even on the trip. What do you mean he's not on the trip? And there's nothing, what are you going to do? Get a refund?
Yeah.
Tell him next year? You let him down. And you can say, well, I'm sorry, I can't make everybody happy. But no. Yes, you can.
Should they make you get a rebate?
It's a better way.
If you start on play, you get 50% rebate?
No owner will ever.
I bet you they'll put pressure to make their people play.
If the NBA
said, hey man, if you have one of your stars on play, you got to give them a rebate. I bet you they'll be telling the player, hey man, you're going to play for a couple minutes or not.
Yeah, I mean, we got a ton of calls on this, and we certainly want to get to them. So everybody hang on because we want to do that. But we also want to make sure we get on time because coming up, we have a special guest. It is a special day in the sports world, not just in baseball, but in the sports world, the 74th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. And a great friend of the show is going to join us. This guy is fantastic. I almost want to tease who it is. just to make sure people like stay with us, right? Shouldn't I do that? Because we normally don't do that.
Yeah, go ahead. Give
this
them,
is one
give
where I got to put it on the billboard, right? The great Chuck D, a friend of the show, friend of the family, a huge sports fan, huge baseball fan, going to join us coming up next. We'll discuss that with him. But we also got calls from you and plenty more to get to in the world of sports. 1 o'clock hour, we'll get into the NFL. A lot of stuff, more news, more headlines in the world of the NFL draft. So all that coming up, your calls as well, Chuck D. And now Bart has this from the Home Depot.
Waiting for spring is one thing. Waiting for spring savings is another. And at Home Depot, you don't have to wait for either one. The Home Depot best prices of the season are already here in-store, online, and store-wide. Get a 40-volt power Ryobi string trimmer for just $159. And more spring savings on everything from fresh paint to power blowers. You've waited long enough. Bring on the spring and bring spring savings now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid through 4/18/21 while supplies last. For you guys that don't understand, that's April 18th. Get to the doers now.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Throughout its long history, Major League Baseball has operated under the premise that no single person is bigger than the game. No single person other than Jackie Robinson.
Did you ever think that maybe God gave you that particular position because you had the strength to take it? That's the only consolation I ever had, wondering whether or not I'm being tested.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott. And yes, today, Jackie Robinson Day, shouldn't be just in baseball, should be in all of sports. We're on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Darren Revelle tweeted this, and I found this interesting, Bart. So it's images of a hat that Jackie Robinson had worn as a player with the Dodgers. All right, this hat has metal plates inside of it. Now, it's a baseball hat, like a soft baseball hat. But it has, and he took pictures of it, metal plates inside of it so that it basically made it a helmet to protect his head when he had things thrown at him.
Wow.
Just think about that for a minute. Like, you're a player, you already got to focus on whatever it is, right? Getting the right,
perform,
whatever it is you got to do, concentrate on the game. And then you're worried, you're wearing some metal in your cap to protect your head.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, right. I think when we think about the movie Jackie Robinson, it gave a pick behind the curtain, and I think Chadwick Boseman did a tremendous job in depicting him and the humanity of what it was
tremendous
like to have to carry the burden of an entire race. We were just talking about the golfer that was trying to win the championship,
Masayama.
Yeah, Masayama, who was trying to win a championship for Japan,
the old nation.
Could you imagine a whole race, not just Black people here, but also people of color all over the world, right? Not just here, but in South America, in Haiti, and think about having to carry that burden of making sure that you can't have one misstep, that you can't react, that you couldn't be a man, and that you had to just take whatever was said, thrown, spit on you for the better good of the race. It's a lot to carry.
Yeah, no, it is. And as we talk about Jackie Robinson and celebrate Jackie Robinson Day, and like I said, not just in baseball, but I do believe in sports because it broke a barrier, not just in baseball, but in sports. It took the NBA another 2 years
to integrate.
It took
the
NBA 2 years after that. So, it still was something that we look back on and just see how it definitely has changed the world and changed the sports world. Somebody that has done that in the music industry is Chuck D, and he's a close friend of ours, friend of the show, from Public Enemy, and he joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Chuck, it's great to have you on. Thanks for giving us a few minutes today. I know you are you're a sports historian. You're a baseball guy. You're a Mets fan. I won't hold that against you. But obviously, you know, a guy from New York. Just Jackie Robinson, the legacy, what it meant in sports, what it meant in you know, socially, what it meant in our culture and our society. What did it mean for you, and how much of an impact even did his story have for you becoming who you became?
Well, first of all, thank you. Good morning. Oh, good afternoon. I forgot what coast I was on, Alan and Bart.
What up?
You know, I mean, really, if a sport is going to call itself a national pastime and pretty much represent a nation, especially in its industrial growth at the turn of last century, then, of course, black people coming up in the trying to find ourselves through the trials and tribulations coming post-Civil War, when the Civil War ended and black folks were supposed to be free. Of course, then you want, you know, people want to be part of that American dream, just to live and also to survive. And when baseball, through Cap Anson, made that gentleman's agreement around the turn of the century that excluded black folks from playing baseball, then that automatically threw it into a political spin. It threw it into a social spin. So me, you know, learning about myself and also having parents that taught me and my father, who was embedded into baseball, because that was the official black person's game as well. It's America's pastime, but it's black people's game on the outside, looking in, trying to knock on doors, but also realizing through guys like Rube Foster, the person who's best known for starting the Negro Leagues, to say, look, we could do our own things, but we still want to be part of this American dream. So me loving baseball also had a predicate of just being able to say, hey, listen, I need to also know about myself to be able to even love this game even more. So Jackie Robinson was the benchmark. It turned my father on to the game. He grew up in Harlem. Of course, the Giants were there. He grew up within an eyelash of the Polo Grounds, but the Dodgers took that first step in 1946, signing Jackie Robinson. He first goes to Montreal, and then he comes to Brooklyn. And so black folks automatically became Booker Dodger fans in New York because that was the first move that was made. So I grew up as a fan of the Mets because Brooklyn went west, and then the New York Mets National League team became the Metropolitans, representing the Yankees, Mets, and the Dodgers. That's why you had the pinstripes, the blue and the orange. And that's where my training comes from, knowing that my father got turned on by this black man playing for the Brooklyn Dodgers and making a socio-political statement, as well as being a hell of a ball player.
It's crazy, Chuck, because a lot of people don't realize that when he was playing, you know, he was 28 years old. He wasn't a young man. He was 28 years old. And also, you know, at that time, Martin Luther King was, I believe, in college. So he may even be responsible for sparking the Civil Rights Movement. But I guess I would ask you this, you know, would you consider or do you think that he may be the most important figure in sports history? You know, maybe him or maybe Jackie, Jesse Owens?
Yeah, most significant athlete in sports history, period, because baseball's the main game. And then you talk about Jackie Robinson, who basically baseball wasn't his number one sport. I mean, he was a tail kicker, man, in football at UCLA and also in basketball. So, and then his brother ran in the 36 Olympics. So, I mean, you want to talk about GOAT? He chose to take on baseball and was a Hall of Famer just with his skill and talent, but he sacrificed. And when you look at clips, and when I was a shorty and I was 11 and 12 and I saw Jackie Robinson throw out the first pitch in the 1972 World Series, I was throwing it back too on how old he looked. But although 52 compared to 12 years old, everybody's old. But in retrospect, with all of us, you know, and that age range or older, and we look at those pitches and you look at the strain and the stress that Jackie Robinson probably just could not shake off of himself after going through that turbulence in 46, 47, and 48. And then also, you know, you got to talk about what led up to Jackie Robinson. You know, it was he was in the military, court-martialed, you know. It's like that period of the 40s was stressful just for a black man in particular. Maybe not as much as the 30s, but the 40s was an area where society had to reckon with the new Negro. You know, the new Negro was saying, out here, we fought for the country, coming from World War II, you know, and we want to be able to be recognized. We're not part of the generation before us. This is a new generation, and we're demanding some respect. And Jackie Robinson was the straw that stirred, that drank socially and with the most media attention at that particular time. And with the help from a lot of key people, especially black journalists and also white journalists at that particular time, that would put things in print to make you read and recognize, you know, what had to be taking place at that time.
Yeah, the most important part is obviously having somebody to tell the story, and that is a big part of it, to have that documented. We're talking with Chuck D, the voice of a generation, an icon, a rapper, producer, author, friend of ours too, and we'd love to have him on. He's on the Goodyear Hotline right now. So with that in mind, I want to ask you this, because we're old now, right? You acknowledge that all the time. We're old. We're in that later generation. As a new generation now, it's a voice.
Hey, Alan, we're old, man.
Come on.
I tell you this all the time. Age is the only currency that really counts.
So with that in mind, I want to read you a quote from Brett Favre. And I want to ask you how you feel about it, because, you know, I feel like this happens. It's cyclical. Every generation, you have somebody that looks at the next generation and how they're doing things, and you complain about it, right? So Brett Favre said this. He said, "I can't tell you how many people have said to me, I don't watch anymore. It's not about the game anymore, and I tend to agree." He's talking about the NFL, and he feels like there's just too much politics and too much that athletes are saying and doing, where people just want to watch the game and don't want to hear from anybody. Now, Chuck, you and I both know this is not new to sports. It's not new to society. You know, since fists were raised at the Olympics in Mexico City, you know, like since Ali was fighting, this has always been in it. But as we're older, we look back and then we're looking at the younger generation doing things the way they're doing it. And we tend to like have this thing about how I don't like how they're doing things right now. How do you feel about like hearing that from somebody like a Brett Favre about sports today? And do you agree with me that this isn't new? I don't know why we're treating it as if sports, politics, and people speaking out is something suddenly new to our society.
I have a statement to say. It ain't. I tell your young person, it ain't new just because you never knew. Mm. You know, every generation has its thing. I think old heads need to be always in the coaching mode. Advise, direct. We can't get out there and be in young people's skin. They got to live their life. And here's another thing. Young people are going to experience adulthood. They want to do this. They want to do that. They want to do this. They're not going to admit that they don't know how. So you got to be there to coach them and get them in line. You're not going to live in your 30s again. They're going to live in their 30s for the first time. They will fall. A lot of them will stumble and will fall. And then the times are always different. And so it's always important for the respect of the older generation, but it's also important for the older generation to understand that they're going through that for the first time. You know, you can't say things like, well, don't you know better? Because the answer probably be no, I don't know better. I think that coaching and advice and mentorship cannot just solely come through a screen. And what we've seen the generation and the last two generations go from citizens into netizens. So the world of cyberspace and the cyber universe is almost a parallel world to the world that we live in as citizens. This has to be taught. There's not net etiquette. There's not net literacy. A lot of people don't know how to navigate that world and still live in the world that we have our physical existence. This has to be taught. There need to be training centers for the old and for the young, because younger people are going through things right now that seriously we can't even comprehend because we're like, it's not that deep. But with them, it's deep. So it has to be taught to them that maybe it's not that deep, but you got to get into their frame of life.
Hey, Chuck, you know? I know where
and I don't want to exchange myself with somebody. Somebody might ask me, "You want to be 30 again?"
No.
I'm like, "Hell no."
Hey, Chuck, we're up against a break in a minute, but you know, one last thing I wanted to ask you about. What I love about this whole versus is the fact that we have an appreciation and we can teach the history of how we got to this point here in music. You know, we were kind of having some fun, me and Allen. You know, we eat lunch before we come here, and then you know, we're kind of spitballing and we're trying to figure out who would you go against.
A versus Public Enemy. Chuck D and Public Enemy and a versus. Who would be the perfect versus for you in your mind? I have one, but I want to see what you think.
I'm not going to say anybody, but I will tell you that Willie D from the Ghetto Boys, he was the first person that came to me and said he wanted to do it. So I have to defer to Willie D whenever anybody mentions verses to me, because Willie D was like, "Chuck, I told you first, bro."
Yeah, Willie D, Starface, Ghetto Boys. But we thought about, because just the education and the knowledge that your music spit and how informative it was, that maybe KRS-One would be like a natural fit.
Two powerful voices.
Yeah. I mean, we're peers, we're brothers from, you know, we're all from the same realm. And also in my peer group, which is different from today's generation, we used to take it to the stage against each other. So, I mean, it's really, if you came off the stage, and to me, I think KRS-One is the most feared rapper of all time. So, you know, we all went on the stages and made sure that, you know, that you didn't get burnt up on the stage and make sure you did some burning. So that was the competition.
I love it. Hey, Chuck, it's great.
Oh, yeah, matter of fact, these are the breaks. We're up against that.
Chuck, it's always great to catch up with you. We really appreciate you giving us some time today. Thanks so much. Be well.
All right, Bart. All right.
All right.
We are all now smarter from having
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, he's the best. He absolutely is the best. That's Chuck D giving us a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. All right, coming up, we've got your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. 1 o'clock hour, NFL Draft, the latest from Justin Fields in his second pro day. Did it make a difference? Does it even matter? It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
On ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, guests on the Barton Hunt Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline, and we're coming to you live from a high above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. So breaking moves, as we just talked about, if you missed it, we had Chuck D of Public Enemy on in the previous segment. You can catch it anywhere you get podcasts. Today, 74th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier, and you just wonder how much progress has been made and how much more still needs to be made, no doubt about it. In the NBA, however, resting players, good for the players, but is it good for the sport? We'll discuss. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Bart, you were great.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.